Last time on SideQuest.
So the man, he leans back and he kind of makes himself comfortable, surveys the scene.
Hello, I am Dr. Cogsbuckle. This is my school for enlightened children. May I help you?
And he says, you know, guys, it has been a long, long, long time since I've seen people mess up this bad.
Well, see, the children, my students, see, what happened was, we ran out of toilet paper.
Right.
So we
right.
needed a good financial way of getting some toilet paper. So I said...
Oh, no, hold on. Let me finish that statement for you. So you decided to rob the most powerful man in the Warrens. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, to be fair, I did not know that at the time.
He says, to make it perfectly clear to you, I'm a member of the Renoirs. These men, my men, are members of the Renoirs. You have property of the Renoirs. You have killed many of my men. I'm just not seeing a good way out of this for you guys.
And I would like to say, my bad.
Now look, boys. I don't think I can explain this any clearer. So what's to keep me and my boys from killing you right now?
Or you could send us on all the stupid stuff that you don't want your men to go on. And what's it to you if we die on those missions that you sent us on?
He looks back at his men, looks back to you, clicks the safety off of his the rifle that he's holding and levels it at the three of you. And just as the firing is about to commence, a loud horn rings out over the silence from one of the cruisers.
Ugh.
I've been instructed to apologize for the way that I've received you this evening and the way that you were received at our fine bank. I was told to make the offer to have a portion of my men babysit your students this evening while you, have dinner with us.
Oh, that's great, because I'm starving. I'd hate to die on an empty stomach, you know what I mean?
The most?
Just not good.
Generous offer.
He says, listen, I, you know, it's so rude. So rude, considering that you stole from us and I threatened to kill you, and my boy, of his own accord, and you know this, Dr. Cogsbuckle, of his own accord, he punched you right in the face, and I'm sorry about that. But my name, you know, just so we're all on equal footing and so we're all on the same page, my name is Friggin Renoir. How's everybody doing? I'm sorry. Did you have something to say, Mr. Veasel?
Are you friggin' kidding me? Got him.
Now, if you'd all be so kind to... formally consent, because consent is important to being bound, gagged, and blindfolded, so we could be on our way. That would be great. Any objections to this?
I guess that the whole, hey, can I drive us there, is off the table, huh?
One of the bigger guys in the back, who's who you saw get out of the driver's seat of one of the cruisers, says, I don't think you could handle it, honestly, little man.
I'm going to touch on that on a later basis. What's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
My name's Nelson.
But if we could go ahead and get the bag thing on before I start having breathing problems due to all the anger.
Yes, yes, you have my friggin' consent.
Did you just come up with that one?
Nice one, Doc. Got him again.
And you get thrown into the back of one of the large cruisers. It's about... a solid 45-minute drive. You get disoriented quickly. It's obvious that the route that they're taking is meant to confuse your sense of direction. You get unbound and ungagged and unblindfolded, and you are sitting at the back booth of one of the nicest restaurants you have ever had the privilege of being in. And sitting in front of you is a very stern-looking man. He has the same kind of sour expression that the shorter man that Friggin had, but much more intimidating. Now, good evening, gentlemen. How we doing today? Because I've been better, to be honest with you. Three idiots were stupid enough to blow a hole in my bank earlier today.
First off, I'm doing well, thank you for asking. But, the reason we're here, and I'm assuming it is the reason we're here.
He holds up a finger as an assistant comes over, and, you can't hear the conversation over this very crowded restaurant, over the music playing, but the assistant leans down into his ear and whispers something. You see this man get visibly upset, like you see a vein kind of stand out on his neck, and his face gets really, really red. And as the assistant stands up, without a word, the man pulls a steam pistol out of his belt and shoots the man in the head. And he falls down behind the back of the booth.
Oh.
He puts the pistol back in his belt and says, I'm sorry, doctor. Please continue.
We possess certain extraordinary skills that could really benefit you in the future if you were to spare us.
Look, boys, I, you know, you interest me. I'm not going to lie to you. You do interest me. So I think I've got something that you can do for me. This could be a good little one-off thing. And listen, you get it done, you survive, and maybe I don't have to hear of you or from you ever again. And maybe you even stop writing about me and my family in this puny little excuse for toilet paper that you publish out of your absolutely rat-infested school. How does that sound?
You know,
Dan's gonna nod.
Yes, I think that is fair.
He says, well, you know what, guys? I think we have a deal. And he reaches across the table, a glass in hand, and he says, to new partnerships. And he offers you guys a cheers. I do need you to do one more thing for me, though, boys. I gotta see what your skill level is if we're gonna be doing this thing. And for that purpose, I've organized a bit of an event in the back. If you're interested. You don't really have a choice, but if you're interested, you hear just a huge amount of crowd cheering and roaring, and you did not expect to be in the middle of a round cage with some 100-150 people surrounding it. What you also didn't expect was the very large 7'5" man, heavily bemuscled, weighing has to be 500 pounds, standing at the other end of the cage. There's a few people kind of standing on platforms up near the top of the cage, and they throw down an assortment of weaponry into the middle of the cage. No sooner do you guys kind of share a look as the crowd starts cheering and a loud bell goes off overhead when the man on the other end charges directly at Dent.
Gotcha. No problem.
So you're able to move out and away as he charges towards you. He just is about to catch a piece of you as you move away, and he turns to face Dr. Cogsbuckle, who's sitting there in your way with his wrench. He swings it down over the top of you, and as you kind of bend down and away from it, it just rakes right across your back and dealing 2 damage to you, 2 harm.
Well, I'm going to, with the adrenaline pumping through my veins with the shot of boost, I'm going to attempt to hit him in the kneecaps with my bat.
All right, so he kind of spins away, taking this back to the kneecap, and then turns to face Boulder.
Din, get behind him on all fours, and I will push him into the fence.
You got it, boss.
Din, you go to kneel down behind the very, I cannot stress enough, this man is 7'5", 500 pounds, all muscle. You go to kneel down behind him, and Boulder, just as you go to shove, the man, seeing what is happening, spins out of the way and actually lift kicked Din into the fence, and you're going to take 4 harm. So he lift kicks you into the fence, you slam into it on your back, actually hitting dead in the center of a mass of wires, and the jolt that flows through you, just for the briefest moment, you see Lola again, but as you fall away from the side of the cage, she disappears out of your vision, and for the briefest moment, right before you hit the mat hard, you're sad. You're just a sad boy.
Good.
We'll flip to Din as Dr. Cogsbuckle tries to run up from behind and swing at the back of this man's head.
I'm on the ground, you said, so I don't know. Do I have a sense about myself?
You're pretty dazed, but I mean, you could stand up and try to get away if you wanted to.
I'll go for a blind swing at the knees.
So we'll kind of do it at the same time, just to flesh out the hard move. You go to blind swing. It's still in a daze, but coming around. Getting your clarity back, you make a hard swing with the monkey wrench right at his knees and just rake him right across the kneecaps. He screams loud and the bell dings twice, and as he kind of stumbles back and away, you see, silhouetted by the high bay lighting overhead, the image of a crazed, wide-eyed Dr. Cogsbuckle, his baseball bat raised, swing down hard, just missing the man's head as he spins away in pain. And he just nails Boulder right across the face for 2 harm.
Zero harm.
Zero harm, because Boulder has 2 armor. And Dr. Cogsbuckle lands in a superhero pose, completely unaware that he did not hit the
crap. Oh, my God.
Boulder, I'm so sorry.
My nose. It
yes,
was
I see.
Perfect.
Yes, it was. I understand completely.
Now I look like William Olsen.
Dr. Cogsbuckle smashes Boulder across the face. The crowd cheers loudly. and begins banging on the sides of the cages. Several of them get shocked in the process. You know, they're banging on electric fence. What do you want? And the bell dings twice again. And then a few more bouts of weapons are thrown in. There's a few folding chairs that are thrown in. There is a sledgehammer that's thrown in. And the man at the edge, he kind of makes a break for the sledgehammer in the middle of the ring. Boulder, what do you do?
I dive to try to get it as well. Okay, so the boulder, now with his newly adjusted nose, thanks, Doc, he will attempt, seeing the man dashing for the sledgehammer, will charge forward, striking him for serious harm.
Not very good. So Boulder, with a yell, charges across to the middle of the cage just as the larger man bends down to pick up the sledgehammer. Boulder, you lower your shoulder and just give a Herculean tackle as you hit the man. You hit him low and kind of lift him up as you go for the sledgehammer as well. Your hand gets to it first, and with the speed from your attack, you fling the man backward. He kind of like vaults into the fence, taking the full brunt of it. As he hits the ground hard, the whole crowd lets out a ooh as it kind of goes silent for a second before he groans and coughs and rolls onto his back and then struggles to his feet. Boulder, you're standing there in the middle with the sledgehammer in hand. He is visibly scared of you right now.
Okay. Unbeknownst to me, when the doc is rushing across the arena and I am returning cheers to the crowd, I hit him in the face with the sledgehammer.
I like it. Yes, this is good. So as he runs across, he's got his bat raised high and he just has a frenzied scream and look in his eye. Again, he's all hopped up on drugs. He has a frenzied scream. You're returning cheers to the crowd. That y'all have a chant going back and forth of bowl and dir, bowl and dir. You accidentally just nail him in the face, cold clock with the sledgehammer. Dr. Cogsbuckle, as you just land flat on your back from being taken out by the sledgehammer. When you wake up a few moments later, you see Boulder standing over you with a sledgehammer, and you have no idea how that guy hit you from all the way across the across the cage.
Boulder, what just happened?
I think I did to you what you did to me, Doc. I'm sorry.
I see. Fair enough. Well played.
It was an accident. I got wrapped up in the crowd.
So the man on the other side of the cage, seeing this and seeing Boulder in a last-ditch effort, he does something a little bit crazy. He turns around and grabs a handful of electrically charged wires that shock him in the process. He's going to take another two harm as he rolls into dangerously close to death territory and yanks them off of the edge of the cage, fully electrified, and then gets a better handle on them as he now has two electrified whips, one in each hand.
Well, that's pretty freaking cool. I'm going to get to basically one knee, and assuming his gaze is very concentrated with Boulder, I'm going to just yeet the wrench as hard
Thank
as I can
God.
At his head.
In my head, I'm just sitting there, throw the wrench.
As you throw the wrench, you kind of like cock back tomahawk throw style, and you throw it. And as it tumbles through the air, seeing this, the big man's eyes go wide, and he whips one of his electrical cords around and whips it towards you at the same time. And as they kind of cross paths in the middle, it's this very cool slow-mo moment as they crackle with electricity as the, one tiny, thin line of electricity kind of just barely touches the hammer as it crosses over. It's a very cool Marvel movies moment. And the hammer strikes him full on in the dome, just nails him. And at the same time, the end of the cable wraps around the front of your outstretched arm. But the last thing you see before your vision goes dark and your arm gets very, very hot is the guy getting clocked right in the forehead. I'm going to let it follow up with Boulder's last action as this guy gets, he's one shot, one harm away from being done.
There Boulder is, standing, sweat dripping, blood dripping from his face. Boulder sees his opportunity as his friend Din is laying on the ground being tased. He runs forward, lifts his hammer, and goes pop goes the weasel, brings down the hammer, and the man's head explodes as if it were filled with little bits of explosive. The crowd cheers, the blood all over his face. He raises his hammer and he says, Boulder!
The crowd goes wild as cheers of Bolt and Durr start echoing back and forth across the room. And the last thing that you guys hear as you're electrocuted from behind as a group of men dressed in black storm the middle of the cage is the sound of the crowd cheering Boulder's name. You guys black out, and next thing you know, you're awake, sitting on the gaslit lawn of the School for Enlightened Children.
Was that a dream?
The school. The guy said he left a present at the school.
Just as you say that.
I'm so sorry, Richie. Oh, no.
Just as you say that, you hear what seems to be, it really just kind of comes into focus. You hear what seems to be a timer beeping down, coming from the direction of Monica as she sits at the top of the oval drive.
That's not where I parked that. I mean, I'm going to get up and I'm going to start sprinting. I have to start sprinting towards my car.
As Den sprints towards his car, illuminated beautifully in this Monet-esque painting. You see a big fireball light up the night sky.
No!
Oh, no.
I see him just sprinting and like stumbling, and all of a sudden it's just this bright light and you see him silhouetted, and then he drops to his knees and goes, Monica!
As the fireball clears up away and dissipates into the air, Dr. Cogsbuckle, while you did observe the scene and didn't really feel anything about it, you start to feel as sad as Den does as you see the front part of the school, the front entrance, severely damaged from the blast.
No, my school!
And all of a sudden, a flaming candy bar lands beside me. This brightens things up, and I pick it up and I eat it.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of SideQuest. I am your GM, Joey, and we have three wonderful PCs with you today. They're the best and the brightest that the world has to offer since I was so down on them last week. Dan, how you doing today, buddy?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Okay, we chatting? I'm doing good, man. How's life treating you?
Oh,
next up, we have Richie. Richie, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. How about you, man?
Buddy, I can't complain. We are here to play some games again for the people, and there's no place I'd rather be. Last and not least, by any means, we have Mr. Cruz Turner. Mr. Cruz Turner, how you feeling?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Man, I'm feeling like Michael Jordan coming off the flu game in the finals. You know what I mean? Like, I listened back to the recording of episode 2, and I was so obviously sick. My voice was terrible.
But you held it. You legit held it really well.
I appreciate that. I could feel my energy slipping away as we did the episode, which was bad because I was so into what was happening. But it did lend itself to the more serious nature of the episode. But we're going to get back to some hijinks this week, maybe. Probably not. I'm feeling good, guys. I think we're ready to start this thing. Y'all ready to get into it?
Sir.
Affirmative.
Let's go.
The energy inside Uncle Merrill's tattoo parlor and oyster house is frenetic, as is typical of the early evening to early morning time here. The food, while almost completely edible, is just as almost completely somewhere between bland and terrible. That's not to say the tattoos, which is the other thing Uncle Merrill is known for throughout the Warrens, are any better than the food, but, you know, like the food, they do seem much better the more you drink. The low buzz of conversation permeates the large dining hall in the middle of the bar, mixing with the distorted sounds of several overlapping programs on many televis screens lining the walls of the establishment. Occasionally, the sound of a shattering bottle or heated shouting will morph into a brief bar brawl before ending as abruptly as it began, the losers carted off as the raucous evening continues along wholly unperturbed. Isaac Mirkov weaves through the crowd, his server's tray resting deftly on his upturned palm. He drops off several drinks to a mix of angry and friendly customers before arriving at the rear corner booth where Dr. Cogsbuckle, Den, and Boulder sit, the weight of forced opportunity very obviously heavy on their slumped shoulders. A flurry of shouts erupt from near the front of the bar. Without turning to look, Isaac sets down their three new drinks and family-sized plate of steamed oysters.
Guys, you look a little rough tonight. What's going on?
Well, you know, It's been quite a rough week, Isaac, I do have to say.
Oh man, that sounds terrible. Has anything happened, or what's, I mean, is it just kind of same old, same, more dropouts?
Din's gonna throw a piece of his door onto the table that's all smoldered in fact.
He's just carrying around a piece of his door.
Yeah, and he's gotta have a piece of Monica on him.
I like it. Which piece, is it like the mirror, side mirror?
It's basically just a chunk of the door from the explosion. What part of the door? He couldn't tell you.
He couldn't tell you. It's half melted. You know,
it's all just twisted. He just knows it came from the car.
Isaac looks down at the door in the middle of the table. It's kind of like half rested on the plate of oysters that he just sat down and goes, whoa, that's a rough one, Din. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and I also, I throw my doorknob to my front door of the school on the table.
I like to think, because there was an explosion and the front half of the school was collapsed in, I think that it probably took both Din and Dr. Cogsbuckle a significant amount of time to find both of those things. Isaac looks over at Boulder and says, well, Boulder, it looks like you're feeling all right at least.
I can't really complain. I mean, sure, I lost a beloved friend. And he, little tear comes out of his eyes. He picks up an oyster and eats it. And honestly, I've fixed it a little, but it's a little unpredictable now.
your friend is unpredictable? I don't know how to take that. Look, this is a special batch of oysters Uncle Merrill said to send specifically over to your table. I don't know if that makes them better or worse, but hopefully. Boulder, how are they? Are they okay? Still kind of crunchy, or what's the deal?
I don't understand how seafood could get more salty.
Yeah, we've been trying out a new recipe here. Rat Boy's actually contributed a little bit, which has been nice. He's been lurking around this place a whole lot, actually.
Did you see him around any of your oysters?
No, he was around most of them, as a matter of fact. I think.
Oh, I'm sure they're fucked.
Yeah. You know what? I'm saying it out loud, and you probably shouldn't.
That explains the salties.
Yeah, let's leave that thought where it is. And, you know, the shouting gets louder behind him, and he kind of half turns to look at it, just keeping a keen eye on the scene down at the end of the bar. And he says, well, guys, is there anything that I can help you with tonight? I mean, you just kind of drown in your sorrows,
yes,
or what's the deal?
Yes, Isaac. Actually, you know, it's been quite a rough week, like as I mentioned before. You know, I'm feeling pretty dangerous right now. Do you have any hot sauce for these oysters?
Oh, we've got Uncle Merrill's famous hot sauce in the back if you'd like me to get you some.
Yes, please, if you don't mind.
I think it should really counteract Rat Boy's sweat. Have you noticed that Rat Boy sweats all the times?
He does sweat a whole lot. He's very drawn to humid environments for some reason. I'm really not sure why.
Yes, well, you know, when you spend most of your life in a sewer with rats, human interaction is quite interesting.
Boulder eats another one, like, not thinking about all the Rat Boy sweat all over the oysters. And he just makes a face and goes, still better than eating toilet paper.
He said, Isaac looks back towards the yelling in the front of the bar, and it's kind of getting a little bit heated now, where several of the patrons, even the ones in the back, are starting to turn and look. So Isaac turns away, and he just says, look, guys, I really hate that this is, things haven't broken your way lately. I'll be right back with that hot sauce. I don't think it's going to make anything better, but maybe it'll mask some of the more interesting flavors that have been added to the dish. And he heads off just as beer bottles start flying. You see him kind of ducking and weaving in between tables along the way. It seems like people are specifically aiming for him, which is kind of mean, but it's kind of par for the course this time of evening at the Oyster House. So I kind of want to take a gauge of you guys and of the room in general. You're a few days removed from the explosion at the school. You've not been contacted by the Renoirs. Nobody has said anything to you. You don't know if you're going to get this job that they've said that they're going to pass to you, or if they've just decided to cancel it and kill you, and now they're just kind of stringing things out to make you stress. I want you to have that kind of discussion, and let's hear what that sounds like. Let's start with Din.
Well, I mean, as you all know, I've been going pretty daily with Rat Boy down to the pick and snatch to try to, I won't even say rebuild, because hey, I'm good. But I'm not that good, you know what I mean? But I'm just trying to make something with four wheels that can go fast again. You know, I've taken up drinking recently. That's been fun. Anyone else pick up any fun hobbies?
I hate to say, but Doc, I've noticed you've been using Boost more.
Yes, you know, one of the students they referred me to a black market dealer the other day. Just keep it on the down low. I don't want the other kids to know. But yes, you know, after my run-in with the Boost at fine eating establishment where someone got shot and we had to fight a 7-foot-tall man. You know, I really like the way it makes me feel. It makes me feel powerful.
He says this as he itches his upper arm on his left side. You notice that his sleeve has holes poking through it up on his bicep.
I just, you know, after the incident, I just felt like it was necessary. I went my whole life living one way, and then that happens. So I just feel like it's necessary.
Just make sure it's not to make it a habit, Doc.
Yes, we'll see.
You really don't want that monkey on your back. Trust me. I got addicted to candy cigarettes for a while there. Really bad habit.
Yes, Bowler, I remember that. We had to send you to the rehab wing of the school.
Yeah, you said you're very confident. I quit him cold turkey, and then, well, I'll see you out back with Rat Boy lighting up another one.
They're always much better toasted. When you toast the candy cigarettes, they remind you of marshmallows, which, as you know, are a luxury in the Warrenses.
So, I guess, Dr. Cogsbuckle, let me ask you this. What's the general feeling at the school? I mean, the students were corralled by very scary men with some very large munitions, and on top of that, too, the front half of the school was devastated. What's the general morale and thought process around the school?
Well, we never really experienced anything like this before. You know, it's just been regular school days for as long as I can remember. And then car blows up, Monica, just to be specific. The front of my school gets blown up, currently under renovations. And unfortunately, that was the only door in. So now we have to, I had Boulder. He had to blow a hole in the side of the school with his grenade launcher so that the kids could go in and out. It's just, it's an awful mess. And unfortunately, I don't have enough money right now to get this fixed. So right now we have a gaping hole in the side of the school.
And a collapsed portion in the front, yeah.
I did my best to make the doorway as small as possible.
Yes, currently at the school there is a 20-foot by 20-foot hole just in the side of the school. It actually opened up the side of Dr. Cogsbuckle's personal restroom, and so now it's just exposed out of the open air for everyone to see.
Yes, it's a very unfortunate incident, and you know, overall the morale is pretty good at the school right now. A lot of the students are wondering,
Dr. Cogsbuckle, when's the next field trip?
And right now, I'm really in a limbo of what to tell them, because we got kidnapped, and we're really just waiting on news, you know? We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to tell the children.
It's really rude when people don't get back to you.
Yes, it is.
On the upside, though, we have received new students, doctors. Tell demands about that.
Yeah, did you get 3 replacement students for the ones that dropped out? What are their names? Let's go with number 1.
Oh, well, we've got, what was his name? Pond Monkey. And
Pond Monkey, number 2, yeah.
Chafing Lizard.
And last but not least,
Drunken Stump.
I'm not gonna lie, that Drunken Stump ones is the bad egg. He's the one who told the doc about the black market doctor.
Yes, Drunken Stump told me about the Boost market, the black market Boost. And, you know, he was on a waiting list for about 4 years.
Did he tell you that you actually can get Boost, like, delivered to your house? That's called Boost Mobile.
Oh.
just for that, I'm moving in my chair. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. So you guys are commiserating over your drinks and oysters. Isaac, at some point, you kind of lose track of time as it's really hard to keep all your thoughts in one place. And Isaac has delivered the hot sauce. Boulder, it did not make anything any better. As a matter of fact, the hot sauce has a very salty taste to it as well. It is extremely, extremely hot, though.
I appreciate Isaac's efforts. The problem is I've eaten most of the oysters anyway?
It's been a couple hours. You guys mind if I get a drink? I'm coming back to reality, and the crushing depression of losing another car is really getting to me.
Let me help you out there.
No, it's fine. Excuse me, Unc Barrel, can I have my usual and make it a double heavy on the chocolate in my chalky milk? Thank you. It's actually just syrup with like a splash of milk. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to tell you it's pure syrup. They just kind of put a little bendy straw in the syrup bottle and then just give it to me. It's fine. It works, but I like to be classy and I request it to be in a sippy cup instead with the bendy straw.
You make this request and it kind of echoes out across the bar. From the back of the bar, rather the front of the bar, you hear somebody go,
"Shut up over there!"
Hey! You shut your mouth! I'll come over there and give you such a telling!
A beer bottle flies and smashes into the wall behind the booth, right over Den's head.
Ooh, so scary. I could throw stuff too, and I want to attempt to throw like a glass on the floor, but it doesn't break.
I like it. So you attempt to throw a beer bottle, it slips out of your hand, and it just rolls across the floor.
Yeah, so take that, you sissy.
So it's about this time that a very heavyset man, sits down, pulls a stool over to the edge of the round booth, and sits down this glass of just the syrupiest, thickest, like brown sludge,
and passes
it over to...
That's daddy sauce. Thank you. I'll take that.
Now, boys, what is happening here? What is this? This is the saddest, just most pitiful... First off, Dr. Cogsbuckle, I have something I have to talk to you about. It's really disappointing me, but I believe Rat Boy's stealing my toilet paper again. We have talked about this. I don't know what it is with Rat Boy and...
You have to excuse him. He's really high right now. You might have to speak up. He might not be able to hear you.
He's just completely out comatose at the moment.
Yes, Rat Boy,
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well,
why does he keep stealing the establishment's toilet paper? We run a respectable establishment. I need that to bandage people's tattoos.
Yes,
toilet paper is a very diverse resource in this world.
No, yes, I understand. Yeah. I guess that's why my students keep eating it. I really don't understand the logic behind it, but... You know, Rat Boy said he was going to the store to get toilet paper, but I guess he just came here
instead. No, he's literally
instead.
Been stealing it, yes. Yeah, he's literally been stealing it from the restrooms at my Oyster House.
Well, I tell you what, when I get back to that school, I'm going to give him a stern talking to.
Yeah, I'd really appreciate that, and he really needs to stop spending so much time near the oyster buckets as well while we're at it.
Yeah, you know, yes, we'll talk later.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I am sincerely sorry.
No, I am too, and I'm more sorry to Boulder. It looks like you're the one that's eating the majority of the family-sized plate there, Boulder. You're not going to be a happy man later.
I was curious about where my hot sauce was, though.
It's on the table, Doctor. I heard through the grapevine that you've been hitting the boost, and you really need to kind of... Guys, can y'all talk to him? He's losing whole moments of time.
As you're saying this, Din is just downing the syrup.
It's the, like, he's having to suck it out of the glass with no straw.
Like, it's not pretty. Like, every occasionally, like, if you're looking too hard, you might see his tongue trying to get in the inside of it.
Oh, God. What's going on, guys? Why the long faces?
You hear the Rimwar family?
Now, what were you saying about the Rimwar family there, Den?
I mean, that's all I'm legally obligated to say at the moment, thus... be losing a future car.
He leans forward in on the stool and kind of puts his elbow on the edge of the booth table, and he says, "Now here's what I heard. I heard you boys might have had a bad run-in with the Renoir. Something about a bank. Is that right? You know, Rat Boy likes to talk."
Oh, so I'm sure he told you about our field trip.
Yeah, I heard about that. Not so successful is my understanding.
Yes, you could say that.
What in your right mind were you thinking getting close to the Renoirs?
You know, to be honest, I don't know if we really were thinking.
I know times are desperate around here, but those people are not to be trifled with.
Hey, since we're on the topic, and Din's gonna kind of hold up his left hand where you can kind of see on his forearm going down to his wrist the awesome swirl of where the electrical like tentacle wrapped around me and burned me. I was like, "Hey, can you do something like really cool with this? This will probably never go away. That's fine, that's whatever, but like I at least want to turn it into more of your awesome art."
Oh yeah, I can. No, I can fit you up with like a nice like tribal spiral going up the arm.
Oh, love tribal. That's awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that.
I was also suggesting possible barbed wire. That's really in right now with the kids.
Maybe we could do like a tribal barbed wire fusion.
Oh yeah, that'd be sick. Tribal wire. For me losing my car, do you think you can give me a normal teardrop on my other eye? Because I don't want it to be confused with my upside down teardrop, because you know I served hard time, because that'll ruin my street cred. But if you could just do a normal teardrop, that'd be fantastic.
What if we do like a drop of oil?
No, I like that. That's all I see. Sorry, the chocolate's just that's really getting to me.
It's strong tonight. It's strong tonight. Yeah, I poured that one strong for you.
Ah, appreciate that.
You guys are mid conversation when the whole bar goes quiet. That is disconcerting. That Uncle Merrill looks up, like, you know, he pulls one of those like meerkat, like he kind of sits up.
The perk up.
Yeah, he perks up. You see several, no less than 10 pairs of headlights kind of crisscrossed across the front windows of the Oyster House.
Uncle, check it out. This is what happened with us.
Yeah, boys. I forgot. I got to go check something in the back real quick. I'm going to leave this one to you, if that's okay.
Yeah. But yeah, while you're back there, hey, try to wrap your hands in something like sticky and then roll your fists in some broken glass, because I don't know how well you do in a cage fight, but you know, just friendly advice. I wouldn't know anything about that, but
no, know. that's Den. Let me and he shakes your hand. Den, that is fantastic. I really have to go, and he doesn't even go back towards the kitchen. He just goes into the bathroom, which is to your immediate right. He just goes through the door into the bathroom.
Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
Yeah, just as the front door swings open and illuminated by the headlamps, which is kind of his thing, you see a short, stout figure kind of silhouetted in the headlamps. Everybody in the bar goes quiet, and you can hear just a pin drop. The figure moves through, trailed by no less than 15, 20 men, not currently carrying anything that you can see, but the odd shapes under their jackets means that they're definitely packing. He stops at your booth, pulls up a stool, and climbs up onto it and sits down and says,
I nudge the doc and go, I can't friggin' believe it.
Really? Boulder, we already doing this? Is that?
And I throw up all over the table.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay.
I'm so sorry. It must have been the friggin' oysters.
Okay, yeah, you thought of a few since last time, is that right?
Yeah, I've really been waiting about a week on those.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, you can continue puking. And he holds up a hand, he turns back to his boys, and he says, boys, just move aside real quick. Hey, all you people, get the heck out. And without a word, the entire bar gets up and leave. And you are alone with Friggin and the rest of the Rimoire guards in this bar.
I wipe the corner of my mouth. You really command respects there, Friggin.
Yeah, you know, it's the name. It's the family name. Like, you know, I like to think I made something of myself. But hey, you know, when you got a bunch of guns behind you, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Hey, Friggin, real quick. We didn't really get a chance to get fully acquainted and whatnot. Before you are part of... you know, the family, what was your 9-to-5?
Bank manager.
Sorry, gotcha.
Yeah, it's killing people is significantly more fun, to be completely honest with you.
God, I bet.
So, I know Boulder here knows something about that. Still not over that, Boulder, but we'll get even later. I mean, maybe this time, you know, just try not to kill so many of my men if you decide to go sideways on me. Look, boys, I know it's been a few days. We didn't mean to leave you strung out, and I've been told to offer my sincerest apologies. And with that, he slides an envelope across the table, kind of towards the middle. He says, I think this should take care of any damages in the meantime. Well, maybe not all the damages. I heard there was an unfortunate incident at the school.
It slides directly into my pool of oyster vomit.
Yeah, he doesn't even try to angle it any other direction. And he says, I heard there was an unfortunate incident at the school. Look, I'm, you know, bygones and all that stuff. So, no hard feelings.
I would like to apologize about killing your men's. That was merely a misunderstanding.
You know, it was a huge misunderstanding, but hey, we've all got new opportunities. Their widows have been handsomely compensated, and their children are just now not crying anymore. So I think we're over it.
Oh, God.
Do they need a school to go to, possibly?
You know, I don't think... Anyway, you know, we have a complicated relationship with the school.
That, Yeah, that's my bad. It's just a bad habit. Sorry, it's like a tick.
So, look, boys, I know it's been a while. We've got a few things to discuss. I've been sent here since we're friends. We're friends, right? Guys, are we friends?
Well, whatever you say, Friggin'.
I'm not hearing anything from Dr. Cogsbuck. Dr. Cogsbuck, are we friends?
I friggin' guess.
Okay.
Got him again. Okay. Friggin', just on behalf of the doctor, I would be very clear. It's not y'all's fault. Y'all were helping. I'm totally cool with that. However, since meeting with the boss, with my utmost respect, because I feel I'm beneath him and shouldn't say his name, but, yep. Someone has, he has a habit now. He is just on the stuff.
Got hooked on the boost, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it happens to the best of us. My, several of my boys have that problem, and honestly, they're better for it. But I can see a man of, you know, of stature, of scholar, and intellect, probably not very becoming of the doctor.
Yes, you know, after the front of my school got blown off and we had to blow another 20 by 20 foot hole in the side of the school, it's just been a rough week.
So unfortunate.
Yes.
Yeah, so unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Yeah. But the boost, yes, well, the boost has been keeping me a little bit sane.
I'm going to open the envelope while they're going back and forth.
There's about 500 scratch in the envelope, which, again, for the listeners, is the currency of the warrens. So, to put it in relative terms, that's probably enough for about a month's wages.
That was just going to be a picture of a middle finger, to be honest.
I nudged in, and I turned the envelope so he can see it.
Oh!
And then fold it up and I tuck it in one of my vest pockets, because if the doc gets his hands on it, he's gonna use it for boost.
Boulder, you gotta remember, before you wash that, you gotta take that money out. I'm just saying, last time you gave it to Rat Boy, and Rat Boy washed it, and all the money disappeared.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how it keeps disappearing that way.
Very poorly made, and it just disintegrates into nothing, or gets taken out and kept. You never know.
Okay. Yeah.
But Friggin says, look, boys, I think that maybe we should get this enterprise underway. I've been given instruction to kind of fill you in on what exactly we need you to do. And look, I like you guys. That's probably true. This is not a good situation for anybody. You don't know us, and we know too much about you. And I'm just very concerned about how this is all going to go. But look, the long and the short of it is, I need you to go into the harbor. And that's not where any of us belong, but that's where you're going. And even worse than that, I need you to go steal some batteries for me from ZSG of all people. You're probably gonna die, boys.
We all have to go sometime.
No, Boulder, again, with the words of wisdom, man, it's true. That is true. But we're hoping to at least profit off of you before you do. So let me give you a little rundown on the job. So he friggin' proceeds to tell you about a warehouse full of nucleotastic fission batteries, which are the batteries that power pretty much any kind of tech pieces throughout the city of New Haven. They have a uranium core, and they kind of screw into the bottom of water canisters, pressurized water canisters, that provide steam power, you know, localized steam power, and they are very hard to come by. They do not flow into the warrens at all, so if you have your hands on any of the weaponry, either, you know, kind of steampunk tech or high tech that is in either the hub, the west side, the west end, high side, or the harbor, you need these batteries to make it function. And it also powers some cars and things like that. They are not a resource that the warrens is privy to. He also tells you that this warehouse is probably one of the most heavily guarded warehouse in the harbor. For scale, for all of our American listeners, it's about the size of an Amazon distribution warehouse. Heavy security provided by none other than ZSEC Security, which is ZSG Unlimited's corporate security, where they don't take you to jail, they just make sure you're not a problem anymore. And on top of that, too, heavy security systems and no real clear way in or out. So Friggin finishes laying all this stuff out, and he says, so boys, what's your thoughts? Give me your first thoughts about how you plan to accomplish this. I mean, there's no option for failure here. It's death or do it. So what's the plan?
Go ahead, Boulder. You can feel that question. I gotta get the bottom of this cup clean, if you feel me.
He's just licking the bottom of the cup the whole time you're talking.
No, normally, this isn't something that the Boulder does, but I think maybe we can go in like we did the bank. Quiet at first, but loud later.
Now, look, Boulder and Co., we would be happy to provide any disguises or uniforms you may need to do this. The problem is you're not going to exactly be able to take in any weaponry. So a hot entrance or a hot exit is definitely not recommended. Now, you boys do whatever you want to do. This is your world. We're merely living in it. But I'd keep the doc off the boost if I could. He seems to be a little itchy.
Yes, you know, I'll remember not to take any boost. I'm actually out right now anyway, so that's perfect. So, Brigand.
Yeah, Doc. Go ahead.
So, just a couple of questions. Uh-huh. What's the layout like at this facility?
So you got heavy security surrounding 360 degrees around the facility. You have a very large laser wire fence and a lot of cameras and a lot of guards. It's just generally not a place that you could just full-on frontal assault very easily, not without some considerable weaponry. Our family out in full force probably wouldn't even take on that challenge.
Question. Normally, we have drawings that are made by a friend of ours. Will show us the layout. Do you possibly have any blueprints of the facilities?
I think that's a distinct possibility. We could probably get that for you. Boulder, roll 2d6. If it is a 6 or better, I mean, I'm sorry, if it's better than a 6, then you will get blueprints. If not, then not so much.
It is not.
What was your roll?
4.
All right, so he's going to look for blueprints, but odds of him finding any are not very high. Any other questions before I let you guys go?
Oh, yes, of course, I have another question.
Go ahead, Doc.
Now, once we get past the security gate, is there anything else that we need to worry about? Like, is there, so say for instance, you're going to airport?
Right, it'd be a heliport, but yeah, that's
a heliport, yes, of course. Well, we're from the Warren, so we don't know much about that.
No, not
anyway, point being, security checks. Is there a security check on the inside of the building?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Before you get on the warehouse floor proper from the kind of the main entrance area, there's one more singular security check where they'll check your IDs. But again, as long as you're not doing anything too conspicuous, the IDs and uniforms that we provide should be plenty to get you to where you need to go.
Wonderful. Now, third question.
Uh-huh.
Would it be possible for you to provide us with some, I don't know, would it be more realistic to have a, say, file that we can hand someone or that you can put in our wads, these things on our wrist that we call them wads?
Yeah, he holds up his wrist. I know we all wear them, Doc. It's,
yes, of course.
Man, the boost is really getting to you.
Yes, it's a little bit tricky. As you can see, I'm having trouble speaking as well.
That's true.
It's only been a couple of days. This stuff's pretty crazy. Am I right?
Very strong, yeah. Very strong, yeah.
Amazing. So is there something you can put on our wads that will help us, I don't know, create like a fake manifest so it'll be easier for us to grab the batteries?
Roll 2d6. Same story. Above a 6, he does. Below a 6, not so much.
Well, unfortunately, I rolled a 4.
He says, Doc, I don't know what kind of tech you think we have, but ZSG or the tech guys, we're not going to be able to make anything that can do anything like that. Try to steal some paper when you get there. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it seems like that's going to be our only option.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're more than welcome. Anything else? Boys, I will say this, and I don't want to forget it, but we actually had one of our men was kind enough to volunteer to drive you guys over to the harbor into the warehouse. So and he motions over for a very large man that's kind of standing off. You know, he's back is towards you. He's leaning on the bar. He saunters over, and you see the very large man, but full baby face of Nelson, and he says, Gentlemen, how are we doing? Did you, I trust you made it back to the school without a problem.
You're not getting anything out of Den. I'm gonna let you know right now, he's not even making eye contact.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
It was Nelson. Nice to meet you.
Nelson, what's your last name?
My last name is Nelson Flanders.
Nelson.
I don't see how that's relevant. Yeah.
Yes, well, now I know, Flanders. So thank you, Nelson Flanders.
It's very ominous. I'm so sorry to hear what happened at the school. I just have no idea how that happened. Absolutely no idea how it happened. You notice that he is wearing something around his wrist, and it is the ribbons of the dream catcher that used to hang on Monica's rearview mirror.
Din's eyes are going to dilate, go super huge, and he's going to crush the glass in his hand.
You smash the glass, and syrup and blood go all over the table. And he says, Nelson kind of sits back and says, you seem to have had an accident there. Din, is there, are you okay there, buddy?
Yeah, chocolate's really strong tonight.
Friggin says, look, guys, I'm sure you got plenty of time to get to know each other. This is all well and good, but I think maybe it's probably a good idea for you to go over there. You can go now if you want. You can go back wherever you need to go. But Nelson will take you over in one of our vehicles, which will get you over into the harbor itself. And then he'll drop you off at the warehouse, and you can kind of move on from there. Does that sound good, everybody? Or
Friggin, I have a questions for you.
Yes, Mr. Boulder.
As you can tell, the doc isn't exactly in his right facilities. Is there a possibility that we could have some boost to get him into this operation without failing us, because he seems quite fatigued?
He looks over at Nelson. You got some boost in your car, don't you? You got a kind of a habit. And Nelson goes, friggin', I don't really know what you. Friggin gets up on the stool, kind of stands on it, and backhands the bigger man. He says, Did you just really call me friggin'? What? That's Mr. Renmar to you. And he says,
get him, friggin'. Show him what's up.
He doesn't respond, but the bigger man, just obviously like seething red and a vein popping out of his neck and forehead, he says, Mr. Renmar, I apologize about that. No, I'd be happy to share some of my stash of boost. I would be more than happy to share my stash of boost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good boy. You should definitely listen.
Mr. Renoir, thank you so much for your opportunities.
Friggin turns to you, and he kind of gives like a half-hearted smile. Like, that's the first bit of humanity you've seen from him. He says, guys, this is, you know, it might be goodbye, but if it's not, I'll buy you some steak and seafood when you get back. How's that sound?
Thank you so much.
Yes, and then we can take jogger shots.
Yeah, was that? Sorry, did you stutter? Some jogger shots.
Some jogger bombs.
Oh, some shots of jogger.
Yes.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah, absolutely. I think that'd be great and it'd be a good time. And look, I'm looking for it. I'll buy the first round.
Thank you so much, Mr. Renoir.
We appreciate it.
And maybe some twirly simples too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I appreciate that. I've actually been sober for years, so that's really more my speed.
I much prefer nipple butter.
So, with that, they kind of all flood back out of the restaurant. No other patrons come in. It's just you guys and Nelson sitting at the booth. And he says, you guys, you know it was me, right? I mean, like, there's no hiding. Like, you know it was me, right? Just 100%. Like, I had so much fun rigging that crappy car.
So, as he's talking, so Boulder gets right in his face. And Boulder goes, don't worry, friend. We knows it was you. And once we're in their good graces, you're not going to be his anymore.
He just laughs and says, yeah, sure, okay. There's a reason
what?
That all the
real,
boys...
Real quick, I don't want to... You know, I get it. You know what? You're 100% right. She was really crappy. I fully understand that. And he's going to kind of like sit... Because he likes to sit on the inside of the booth because
right.
He likes being close to the wall to... secure thing for him. You know, he kind of sits up just a little bit and, you know, extends the bloody hand a little bit, and then he looks at it, smiles, and then he extends the other hand. I go, Nelson, I understand. You did me a favor by getting rid of that. I feel we got off on the wrong foot. You know, I was, feeling pretty cocky from the whole, robbing a bank thing, you know what I mean? And I just, I feel we should maybe not start over, but just just kind of move on, and it'll be nice working with you. and he's still going to extend his hand to shake it.
He puts his hand out and takes yours in return and squeezes it just a little bit, like annoyingly hard, kind of pulls you forward a little bit. He says, he said, don't worry about it, Den. As a matter of fact, if you know what, I'm going to say when you guys make it back from this one, I might even let you drive my car, show you what a real car handles like.
You know what? See, that's what I'm talking. You and I feel, are going to be really good friends. I know you're a high roller. I could see it from your, and he's going to adjust his like lapel and stuff like that and kind of like push his collar down and stuff like that. It's like, you know, if I wasn't afraid that you would get some unseemly disease around here, you know, being a upstart man yourself, I'd you know, try to get some like friendship tattoos going on or something. You know, just something stupid, just to kind of like really cement this future friendship, you know what I mean?
You know, I appreciate the offer, Den, and I look, guys, I gotta be honest, I'm surprised and both relieved and surprised at how well you're all taking this. You know, I think we can be good friends. I think we can be good friends, and you know, maybe no other blowing up things in the future. I think this is going to be great for everybody.
You know, I couldn't agree more. It's so good to see us burying the satchel.
I'm definitely... Did you just say satchel?
Yes, burying the satchel.
Okay. I'm definitely not sharing my boost with you. You know that, right?
Well, I guess I'll just be on withdrawal.
Yeah, you'll probably be a little itchy, but I think you'll be all right. Maybe, you know, we'll see. You know what?
You can't spare a little.
We'll talk about it in the car. Does anybody have anything else they want to do in the scene before we go get in the car?
I'm good, Flanders.
Let's go. Guys, if you don't mind moving out of the booth so I can get up as well, I'll meet you guys at the car. I've got to use the little boy's room, you know. Small child, you know, I got to stand a little bit closer to the plate, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that definitely, he laughs like pretty heartily. He said, no, that definitely makes sense. You're so tiny.
I know, right? It's crazy.
Like, Den's not a small dude, but compared to Nelson, he's a pretty small guy.
Oh, yeah. He's huge.
He says, I'm surprised you can actually reach the above the lid, to be honest with you, but it's...
Little trade secret, we kind of come here a lot, and he was nice enough, the unk, I call him the unk, you know what I mean? He put a little step stool in there for me.
Now that I would like to see. You know what, boys, let's let the little man do his business and we'll head out to the car. How's that sound?
Nelson, real quick question before we head out.
Yep. We're walking, but yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yes, while we're walking. So are you basically our babysitter?
I mean, in so many words, I'm your, yeah, I'm your babysitter. I guess the handler is the official title, but came with a pay raise, so...
So you're going to give your children drugs, yes?
No, I explicitly said I would not be doing that.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear before we moved on.
So, Den, what are you doing? When you go into the bathroom, do you actually go into the bathroom?
Yeah, no. Den, you know, gets up from the table and he goes into the bathroom.
Yeah, you kind of wait until the front door closes and you get up to go to the bathroom. When you open the door, you do see Uncle Merrill crouched in the corner, with kind of like half hiding behind one of the stalls.
Hey, Unc, it's all good. They're, I get ready to head out. We're gonna, I guess, go do a thing. Hey, real quick, and, Din's gonna, like, kind of go over and take the really dirty, sea-ridden, just really crappy-looking rag that he uses to, like, wipe everything off with. He's gonna take that out of his little, you know, his apron, and, Din's gonna go over to the sink, and he's gonna start picking the glass out of his hands, dropping it in the towel, and then he's gonna be like, I'm gonna bring a friend later for possibly some friendship tattoos. Hey, do you have anything possibly, I don't know, that looks good with red?
Oh, I'm Den. I am positive we can find something.
Fantastic, I appreciate that. And he kind of like smiles a little bit and he wads up the really crappy, just really god-awful rag with the glass and he stuffs it in his pocket.
So you guys all meet up outside. Nelson and Dr. Cogsbuckle and Boulder are already in the idling, just like I said, jet black, a very large cruiser that's idling out front. All of the bikes and, you know, other cars are long gone. They cleared out when the Renoirs first showed up. Den, you walk down the front steps of Uncle Merrill's Tattoo Parlor and Oyster House and approach the car.
Den's gonna, you know, hop in and sit next to basically Doc being in the middle, I assume. He's gonna get in, close the door, and buckle up. Be like, all right, I'll good to go. You guys ready to do this?
You know, if you shake it too many times, then you're playing with it at that point.
You caught me. You caught me. You know, there is a chance I might die tonight, and you know, don't want to. I don't want to go into it, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I got you. You gotta, you know, do what you gotta do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, treat yourself.
He gets it.
That's true.
This guy gets it.
That's right. That's why I've got a tattoo of treat myself on my back. It actually says treat myself, not treat yourself. Anyway, I'll show you guys later. It's on my lower back. So I guess we should get moving. Do we need to stop by the school or anything before we get heading out here?
Guys, we need something cool.
Well, Nelson.
I don't need anything.
In your opinion, you know, never mind. We're good.
No, go ahead. Ask your question.
Well, I was going to see. I have a few children that are a little bit troublemakers, you know. So
right.
I think, would it be beneficial to have some backup distractions?
I mean, yeah, I can't see, you know, they won't last very long in the harbor. If they're caught coming across the checkpoint, even if they blaze through it, I mean, they've only got probably 5-10 minutes on the roads before they're just wiped off the face of the planet. But yeah, I mean, as long as you don't mind losing them.
Yeah, you know, the dropout rate's pretty high this year. I think we might hold off on that one.
Okay, I mean, it's your choice. We can go get them if you need to.
No, it's fine.
Okay. So this whole time, you guys have been driving on the byway that kind of runs out and around the edge of the Warrens as you head towards the east, towards the harbor. And it's pretty quiet out, you know, that their streetlights don't work in the Warrens, so the headlamps are on full bright. And just passing the most ghastly figures walking along the edge of the road in the evening. In the distance, beautifully lit up, almost like a second moon in the sky, you can see the Highside District as it floats high above the hub and the rest of the city of New Haven. Its thrusters on the bottom constantly providing enough lift to keep it aloft about 500, 600 feet in the air. And you see the large utility tubes that kind of spiral down from it, landing in the ground of the hub and provide resources up to it. And you're almost, you know, it's one of those things, like when you see it, you're struck by both the audacity of it and the sheer awfulness, and then also the beauty of it. You know, it's all full lit up neon, beautiful. There's a waterfall running off the edge, and you can see the jagged landscape on the bottom. But then you're reminded, as you see the steady stream of garbage coming out of the bottom of it, falling into the giant crater that it left when it floated up above the rest of the city, that's some pretty bad people up there. But you begin to head in towards a little bit closer. The roads get a little bit narrower and eventually come emerge into a single point lane in and out of the harbor, and you stop at the checkpoint. So how are you guys going to play this? Nelson obviously has some kind of plan, which he has not communicated to you about how to pass this checkpoint. How are y'all acting? Let's start with Boulder.
Quiet, sitting there, just being Boulder, stoic.
Dan, Dr. Cogsbuckle, any other plan?
So, Nelson, so what's the plan there, boss? But you're the head of this operation till basically you drop us off.
Yeah, no, I've got an ID to get across here. This is let's not call it back channels. That sounds bad, but I've got a way to get across here without too much suspect. I just need you guys to just stay a little bit of quiet. Doctor, you are itching just all over the place. You just got flakes of skin all over my car. Can we please contain him while I do this?
We'll try.
So you pull up to the checkpoint, the security guard's there, and Nelson exchange a few words. He shows him some form of ID on his wad. You can't quite tell what it is. And then the security guard taps the side of the door twice, and you guys pass through the checkpoint under some spotlights that shine down from the edge of the wall. It's a very high, like, brick cobblestone wall with barbed wire that arches over the top of it. It's about 20-25 feet high. You guys pass through the laser line gateway in the middle and out the other side, and then you're in the Harbor District. The Harbor District is exactly what it sounds like. It's a massive, highly technologically advanced harbor. You see the very large, like, boom cranes that come over and pick up large shipping containers as they come into port, and they get kind of scheduled out for delivery. The harbor is dominated by the three megacorps that kind of run everything and provide everything for the city. And also have a massive amount of import-export. You drive for a little bit longer. This district is about three-quarters of the size of the Warrens, so not quite as far across, but you drive another 30 minutes or so before you come up to a very large, very well-lit district with the logo of ZSG Unlimited on the side of it. And you stop just shy of the security fence, kind of towards a more unlit side with an alley that runs across a building, and then you have the fence on the other side. And Nelson's kind of pulls up. He puts the vehicle in park and says, "All right, boys, I got an assortment of uniforms in the back. You know, the boss said to be prepared for anything. Any last-minute thoughts or questions here before we do this?"
"Nope. I guess we just kind of have to freestyle this, I guess. But we'll figure it out. We're kind of on the fly kind of group."
"Well, I'd recommend, you know, scoping it out first, but are you going to want any of the uniforms we got in the back?"
Yeah, definitely. If you wouldn't mind popping the trunk, yeah, we'll take a couple of those."
He pulls the lever and pops the trunk. He says, "Any other information we need, guys? Look, we don't know much about these warehouses either. There's a reason none of our boys wanted to do this. It's not a good job. Dr. Cogsbuckle, I'd suggest that you try not to look so itchy, and Boulder, you might want to leave your grenade launchers in the car. Just throwing it out there. You do whatever you want, but I'm just throwing it out there."
Din, putting the uniform on, he kind of walks back around to the driver's window, like stuffing his shirt down. "Oh, real quick, is there any possible way that if we do this, would they suspect the family, if you will? Is there like a rival family or gang that maybe we could kind of like leave their mark, try to, you know, deflect them away from ever looking toward y'all?"
He says, "Well, you know, the only people that have made a run on this," and he says, "and I hate to tell you boys this because this makes it even more complicated for you, but this warehouse was actually hit a few days ago, and most of them died. The East Street Riders, you know, the gang from the Warrens, the one of the rougher gangs, let's just say, hopefully you haven't had any interaction with them. They tried to hit this exact warehouse only a few days ago, and about 3/4 of them are dead now."
Crackers. "All right, well, Dax, that helps. At least we got something to kind of rep in case things go belly up. So I guess that's gonna be it for me. Boulder, Doctor,
Din, what costume did you go with?"
I guess I'm gonna be a shipping guy."
"Perfect. Yes, I will do that as well, Boulder.
What do you think I should wear, Doc?"
"Well, I think if there's any technical problems, we'll probably take Din inside. What about a driver's uniform? You know, like a truck driver costume."
"Sure, I can do that." His trunk, I see like a gym bag, and I dump all the stuff out of it, and I stuff my grenade launchers and my mask in it.
Yeah, he's got his like nasty, like dirty socks from the gym in there, and so, like his smelly tennis shoes.
"Nelson, you really do have a collection of items back here."
That's my like after work bag that I kind of pack. It's been a while since I've washed things.
"Can I like maybe make a roll to see if I see a hidden compartment to get the doc some booze? Because
I would love that. So let's do that. I want you to just roll plus sharp."
"Ooh, that's a 10 total."
"Nice. So on a 10 plus, you get to do exactly what you set out to do. So tell me what you find."
"So I imagine I am emptying the bag, and where normally, you know, the tools are stored, I see that it's slightly ajar, and I pull it and I see the tools, but also behind it, I see a small wing nut, and I loosen it, and there is a hidden compartment."
And inside that hidden compartment, you see three vials plus some needles of a blue liquid. And from the front, Nelson yells back, Hey, Boulder, you find everything you need back there? You're taking a minute, my man."
"Yes, I'm only trying to fill this bag with my necessities."
"Boulder, I like the way you think, dude. I like the way you think. Yeah, hurry up. I really shouldn't sit here too long. Even my car is going to get suspicious after a while."
I snag the three vials and needles.
So you get those. So these kind of look, the needles themselves kind of look like EpiPens, you know, and kind of have like that sheath needle. And it's got a vial that kind of screws down onto the back of it.
And then I'll shut the trunk.
Okay, you shut the trunk and around the other side, and you guys each have your uniforms in hand. Any last thoughts before we go and do this thing?
I'm gonna basically let them kind of like walk off ahead, and I'm gonna like sit back right before Nelson pulls off, and I'm gonna kind of like, you know, nudge him just a little bit.
Din, what's up?
"Hey, look, man, I'm not trying to be like this or anything like that, but hey, they found your stash back there. They grabbed a couple. I know it's really shitty. I didn't say much, only because he's like 10 times bigger than me. You know me, little baby man over here. But look, I'm gonna make sure if stuff goes belly up, he takes a couple bullets, you feel me? And he kind of like, he reaches out for like a fist bump.
With that, Nelson kind of looks at him slyly and returns the fist bump.
All right, buddy, I'll see you when we get back. We'll get some drinks, all right? And he kind of like jogs off.
And that's where we'll end it for tonight. Thank you guys for tuning into SideQuest. We very, 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 very much appreciate you doing it. Guys, we've had a great outpouring on Twitter this week, in the past couple weeks, or the past reception episodes, and we really appreciate it. Richie, why don't you run down our social medias real quick?
We got a Patreon. That is patreon.com/sidequest. We got the Twitter. That is SideQuest. But the I is the exclamation point, and it's @COG_weekly. And then you can use the hashtag SickPod, SIQPOD. Use that hashtag, say something nice, say something creative, maybe some constructive criticism. Like maybe, you know, the whole dare line and stuff like that. Don't do drugs, kids. And maybe you too can possibly be in one of our episodes as a NPC. And then we also have a Discord, that's SideQuest. Instagram, which is TheCogsWeekly, also SideQuest with the apostrophe. Exclamation point as the I. And then we also have a Reddit, r/sickpod, that is SIQPOD. Come talk to us. Come. I mean, you don't have to come love on us, but hey, I mean, Rat Boy is, God, he just will not shut up about the socials. Please come talk to him. Give him something to do.
Absolutely. And we do want to thank Twitter user @IamGryphoenix. That's I am Gryphoenix. Also named /Isaac. And Isaac, thank you very much for tweeting at us using the hashtag SickPod. And he was an NPC. He was Isaac the bartender, Isaac Birkov, the bartender at Uncle Merrill's Tattoo Parlor and Oyster House. So thank you very much for saying hello. And we look forward to having more people as NPCs on the podcast. Guys, give me your thoughts on the episode this week and the setup for the warehouse heist. Let's start with Dan/Dr. Cogsbuckle. How is Dr. Cogsbuckle's mental state as we head into next week?
Well, now that we've found some boost, I think it's important that I take some, because my mental state isn't very good right now. I'm just having a little bit of trouble with the withdrawals. Do you understand?
I can hear just the absolute discomfort in your voice. Absolutely.
Yes. I'm also, as the kids would say, hella nervous about doing this warehouse thing. You know, the last thing we had to do, which we thought was going to go well, it ended up not going so well. And now I'm addicted to boost. So I think I'm just a little bit worried that something else bad might come out of this. But I want to continue to run my school, but it's just not looking very good right now.
You know what? That's a good point. Boulder, how is Boulder feeling going into the heist?
As confident as always.
Confident always. I like it. And last but not least, Den. Den's had a lot of revelations and things to deal with this week.
Oh, that's, I mean, it's great. You know, we're finally doing the darn thing. You know, we're going to go and knock this out of the park like we normally do. It might be rough, but we'll still do it. You know, we're coming around to our new good buddy, Friggin, which is friggin' awesome if you ask me. But yeah, and you know, being Nelson, you know, yeah, start off a little rocky, a little rough around the edges, but I feel as though this could be an explosive relationship. You see what I did there? I'm depressed.
Guys, we very much appreciate everybody joining us again. Want to run down our PCs. We have Dan, who plays Dr. Cogsbuckle. We have Richie, who plays Den Wiesel. And we have Cruz Turner, who plays The Boulder. Guys, thank you very much for joining me again this week. And everybody listening, thank you very much for joining us again this week. Let's everybody tell the people goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Adios, amigos.
Goodbye. See you next week.
You betrayed me, Richie!